Jim, I want to start by asking you a question about a phrase that you use in your book, Build Ivy Wild, which is this incredible document that I think when most people come to Ivy Wild, they will not be aware of as the sort of ideological underpinning or foundation of this entire project. But you use this term, the coming crisis. And I think that's a good place to start because it sort of invokes something almost apocalyptic, maybe. Well, so could you talk about what the coming crisis is as you see it?
You can already start to see it happening where people just feel helpless. People feel that they've lost control, unable to make decisions about their own welfare or even things that happen to them at the local level.
I think it'd be fair to say that the central theme of the book, Build Ivy Wild, is this word symbiosis. Can you define that for us? What is symbiosis as you see it? And Mike, why don't you give your impression of it as well? But I'll start with you, Jim.
Sure, you bet. Well, you know, we did reference the textbook definition in there, and it talks very much about nature and the relationship between organisms that have this mutually beneficial association. And what we wanted to do was to try to emulate the structure of nature, which is a loop, and to go and hand select entities that can share the byproducts of their operations, hopefully to minimize and ultimately eliminate waste.
Let's get into specifics of the building. And Mike, why don't you talk about how symbiosis works where Bristol is concerned in the Ivy Wild building?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of levels to this symbiosis thing. And from the surface, it's the difference between building a strip mall and then leasing it to the highest bidders. And you end up with Chipotle, Starbucks, these sort of things. I think at the essence of this is, hey, let's choose what we want to be here and then create this thing. And so from the brewery's perspective, we generate a lot of heat. We do a lot of cooling. We generate a lot of water. So if we can figure out a way to use those things, oh, and spent grain, I should say, those are sort of our byproducts. And so in the design and the evolution of this project, how can we reutilize as much of that as possible?
So how can you?
Well, I think we have to do it in phases. I mean, it's a very large project. And we were installing a new brewery for the first time too. So, you know, some of this stuff we could integrate into the design of the brewery. Other stuff we're still going to have to figure out. I mean, we are still working on a lot of this stuff. Some of the things we designed into the brewery, because it was the only place to do it, was the energy efficiency piece. I mean, we brought the brew house in from Germany. It's designed for high efficiency in three areas, labor, raw materials, the hops and barley, and then energy. And so we had to do that up front. We made a substantial investment to do that up front. And then as we laid it out, we laid out the process so that we can reuse rinse water for another rinse. We're certainly analyzing the gray water that goes through the brew house and how we get that to plants on site. But, it's going to take a while.
What about in terms of the HVAC of the building?
We've set it up so that we can utilize excess heat in the heating. So we left the original hot water heating system in. We pulled out those boilers. There was no air conditioning in the building, so we still had to put rooftop units in for the public spaces. I mean, you can't get people to sit there and spend money on beer without having air conditioning. So it's going to be kind of a hybrid model as we evolve, and I think it'll just continue to evolve.
Talk about the businesses that are already there, the businesses that will be there, and what potentials there are for sort of economic symbiosis.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that the cornerstone of the project is the brewery, just because of its sheer size and contribution to the rent. So the bakery is there, the old school bakery, and that's a great tie-in. I mean, if you start thinking, yeast is basically liquid bread. Beer is basically liquid bread. You've got yeast, you've got grains. They get to play around with some spent grain products, and that's pretty cool. For us, we've been in business for 19 years, and we've always had a really nice tasting room / pub, but we've never had food. So now we actually get to bring food in by having a kitchen on site. But instead of us building our own kitchen on one end of the building and then having Joe and his group build another kitchen on the other side of the building.
That's Joe Coleman, the owner of the Blue Star.
Yes, yes. So they end up putting they put what's called the Meat Locker, which is kind of a charcuterie deli restaurant sandwiches. It's a neat place. It's kind of hard to define, but there's certainly some symbiosis there because that kitchen now supplies food to us as well. And we have to work very tightly with them because from a customer point of view, we want it to be seamless. So that's been a fun part of the challenge. So as far as the other buildings, of course, the Fennell Group moved down there from their location on Tejon. The Mod Boco folks are doing an art school in the lower level south end. We've got one space that's still unaccounted for. We've got some ideas, but we're not really in a position to say what it's going to be. And it's a fairly small space. But everything else, the principal's office, which is a coffee bar, spirits bar, kind of morphs during the day to a late night, or not late night, but a spirits bar. And then bakery, charcuterie. What am I missing, Jim?
Well, we've got the gymnasium where there's going to be concerts and events. And I should say, by way of disclosure, that KRCC will have a studio. And I do want to make that clear because there's lots of folks in the community who think we are going to move our entire studio or our operation down there. We will have a studio in the gymnasium for hopefully for broadcast of live concerts and events and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Jim, you were going
to
say.
Oh, the market.
Yes.
Adjacent to the principal's office.
Yeah, the Pikes Peak Community Foundation has put in a local foods, small local foods market called Hunt or Gather. So they're bringing in, I think their Creed is less than 100 miles away. So meats, cheeses, produce. During the winter, they'll get more creative, obviously, without the fresh produce. But, we really think the whole concept can almost be built around food and drink and community and what that does for community. It's not just food and it's not just drink. It's what that does for community interaction, communication.
You've got art and architecture and food and beer and whatever else remains to come. And expanding the circles out, you have this term, symbiosis district.
Right.
Talk about what that is.
Well, essentially, it's taking this idea that Mike has described and applying it to a building block or a planning term, which, it's a district. A district is something that's usually defined by something that's visual or something that's cultural, or it has something in common, something that defines it so that people can recognize it. And typically they're about a city block or maybe several city blocks in size. In this case, it's one city block, and that was the original site of the school. So we're referring to the city block physically as a district.